Food City makes it easy to shop your way. Just pick up your groceries curbside or have them delivered directly to your home. So whether you need weekly groceries or just a quick meal, Food City's got you covered. From their doors to yours.
Put on your helmet, fasten your chin strap, and get ready for the snap. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is ready to go. Sports Animals VFL QB is ready to give you the insight and analysis that no one else in Tennessee radio can. Get in Eric's headset by calling 656-9900. 656-9900. The Eric Ainge Show with Brian Rice is headed your way right now.
One down, two to go right here at Rusty Wallace Honda, I-75 and Callahan Drive. If you're headed north, get off the exit, take a right. If you're heading south, you get off the exit and you take a left. Did I get that right?
You did.
Can't tell me anything for the rest of the day. That's where the bar is at, ladies and gentlemen.
Black Friday. It's been Black Friday all month long here at Rusty Wallace Honda, but today is actually 100% Black Friday. Come see them. Lifetime loaner cars, 0% financing on select new Hondas. Over 200 pre-owned vehicles here on the lot. They've got up to $500 in trade-in assistance on all trade-ins, up to $1,000 off any new Honda. And they do have new Hondas on the lot. And then, of course, that no-charge 200,000-mile powertrain warranty on all new Hondas here. Rusty Wallace Honda, I-75 Callahan Drive. Come see them. Come see us.
Do it.
We're here for the next 2 hours.
Do it. Peer pressure. Do it.
It is time for the 10 o'clock reset, and that's thanks to Craven Wings. Craven Wings introduces Kids Eat Free every Monday through Thursday at the South North Shore store. Only kids 10 and under. Eat free from the children's menu with the purchase of an adult meal. Craven Wings loves kids. They love to save you money. Plus, the cleanest, healthiest chicken available anywhere. That is Craven Wings. Two locations, Seymour on Chapman Highway and North Shore at Chodo. Kids Eat Free deal at the Chodo store. Coming up, we're going to talk coaching carousel. We're going to talk SEC preview. Vol Hoops takes on Tennessee Tech today, an afternoon matinee at Thompson
Love
Arena.
It.
Lady Vols are playing in Vegas later tonight as well.
Even more fun.
We will take a look at Tennessee and Vanderbilt tomorrow. Then, of course, coming up at 11, the world-famous, unequaled, unrivaled pick segment here with Chad and Jake.
All good things. All good things.
All of that. Let's jump in. And we have to start with the news that we started the first hour of the show off with as well. Tennessee running back Tyon Evans announced this morning he is in the transfer portal. He will not return to Tennessee. He will not suit up for the Vols tomorrow. That was not unexpected with his ankle. Him coming back next year was, if you've listened to us for the last little bit, not unexpected either. But he did label his announcement as he was going in the transfer portal while evaluating all of his options. As I said before and will say again, I think the more realistic option here is that he tries for the NFL, whether it's getting drafted or going as a free agent. That's where this is headed. But he did mention the portal. I don't know where he would find a better situation football-wise than what he would have here.
No, so based on his health status, often.
Yes.
He will get what it seems like anyway, if he's just one of those guys that gets a little banged up every year. He will get as many carries as he possibly can have.
Right.
So, and yeah, listen, the kid's really good. I mean, if he goes somewhere else, they'll want to play him too. I mean, we just got him and he's playing for us. It could happen again. I just feel like it's hard. You got to know the why on anything. But if he's actually hitting the portal and thinks, if I don't get the information back about the NFL that I want, I'm going to go somewhere else. I would advise him not to do that. You've already been a few different places.
Yep.
So if you keep playing a little bit and leaving, playing a little bit, and leaving, at some point you lose a lot of the excitement about your play. If you're hurt all the time, who knows? This could be part of it. I am that guy. Like, I knew every year starting my junior year in high school, mm-hmm. when I was the full-time varsity starter, that I never knew what it was going to be, but I was going to get hurt. It didn't matter how tough I was. I'd put my toughness to play with pain up there with anybody.
Right.
But I was going to get hurt every single year. And I did. Every single year I dealt with something. So I don't know if that – it didn't bother me because you just kind of get your mind right and you're a football player. And, yeah, you get hurt, but, you know, you rehab through it and you still go play.
Right.
If that's where he's at, thinking, you know, well, I always just get hurt, I get hurt. I want to go to the NFL, so, you know, I'm on a team at least if I get hurt. I just feel like making decisions like that in football outside of being Christian McCaffrey or a Jadeveon Clowney, or we've seen now it's kind of bled into a lot of the going to get drafted for sure, but you don't know when guys, they hardly play in bowl games anymore. If they're hurt in the year, they want to play, but they're like more like health conscious, I guess. And that's a change to football that was not there when I played. But it will continue to probably be there. I don't know. I can't make sense of why anything that he did. You don't have to say a word to put your paperwork in and get a grade back from the NFL. So I don't know. If outside of getting a first-round grade, because, of course, I would have gone, but I wasn't a first-round draft pick after my junior year in college.
Right.
But I put my paperwork in, and I got back a second- to third-round grade. And it never crossed my mind. I wasn't going to leave anyway. I wasn't good enough to be the leaves early for the NFL guy. But it's kind of cool when you get it back. You know, you get your information back. It's a second- or third-round draft pick. Yeah, it made me feel good.
Yeah.
It did. That was a point of pride. And couldn't wait to get back at it and learn more and see all that. And my career went where it went. But he's not going to get that information.
Right.
He's not. He might get a fourth to the end, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. You might get a fourth and on. But there's a lot of gray area in that. There's a lot of guys that get paperwork back that say they're a late-round draft pick, and they enter the draft, and it's the next group of undrafted, and the SEC is the worst, undrafted college football players that could have come back and played another year. And
yep.
Don't even get drafted.
He does have a child and family to support, and so you understand that from that perspective. I just, again, what I understand, school's not his thing. That's okay. That's why I've always said there should be an alternative to kids having to go to college if school's not your thing.
You got
to
do what you got to do, though.
But there's not. I think, though, there are some ways for you to get through that if you're able to. And if you wanted to come back for another year, there are options for you to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So those are
it's a lot. It's a lot of information to process. Hey, I had a question for you before we get him on Randall on. But do you have any idea if the opportunity fund can be used for a player who has a small child?
There are some things that you can purchase through it. Not necessarily directly expenses for unless the rule has changed. Not things that you can directly, you know, you can't say we need diapers or we need food or we need something
like that. You now know what I've known for a while, which is little kids.
They're expensive.
They are expensive.
They got a lot of stuff.
Even if you don't have them all bougied out in a Tennessee Letterman's jacket.
Formula is expensive.
Straight up. All of it is. I mean, everything. Diapers, wipes, this toy, that toy. This cradle thing to get them to sleep, it's not cheap.
Stuff they need to just exist is very pricey. So,
that could play a role in it somehow. Again, sure, I don't necessarily know what path that goes for him. I guarantee you, though, there's somebody in this town that loved watching him play that knows he has a little child that would probably sign him up to something. He won't be a millionaire, but
it's now legal.
You need money for what? You need money for a better apartment for him, and you need money for some diapers and stuff. Da, 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 da. You can work that deal probably just about anywhere.
Well, you remember when Mo Couch had to
$500 But it was $500.
They needed diapers. They had to have diapers.
$500 for a child is a month. Maybe a little more. Maybe. Depending on the needs of the kid, though. I mean, some kids are more. Ramsey had a GI problem. She was early, and she had a GI problem, and the only formula we could feed her was like $80 for a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
We spent hundreds of dollars a month just feeding her.
Yeah.
So, I get that, man. I played with guys who had kids, and every one of them has to find help.
Yeah. Let's talk to Randall. Randall, you're on the Eric Haines Show. Good morning.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Eric, I know you ate too much.
Always.
Same.
It's my curse.
I got a quick comment. I hate that Evans is leaving or he put himself in the transfer portal. But everything you listen to this kid, every time he was interviewed, I mean, after a really good ball game, he was talking about playing with his brothers. He's talking about playing for the team, how much he loved the coaching staff, all the usual players speak. But my first question is that do you think maybe the coaches are either the players were giving him grief because he was constantly hurt?
No.
Do you think maybe that the reason why he's going into the transfer portal is to open up another slot?
No, I don't think it's anything like that. I'd be curious. This is a not so hot take. And thanks for calling, Randall. Talking about Evans, it's good stuff. I have no idea because I've never met the kid. I don't know anything about him other than watching him like all you guys do. I don't know anything about him. But if his if the woman that he had a child with, whatever that is to him, isn't from Knoxville or anywhere around here,
yeah,
and just moving to play somewhere else, I don't know, right where she is from, or he, if he's the one that has the family help, whatever, I've lived in a different area than all of my family for years, and it is hard. Even with two people, it's not easy.
Yeah.
So he's busy. He's playing. He's got to go to college. He's got to work out. He's got to do – it is a full-time job for 8 months out of the year to be a major big-time college football player with, you know, expectations of continuing to play the game in the NFL.
Yeah.
That would not shock me at all. I've watched – I don't remember who – it's like it might have been a walk-on. He was a guy that never played. I don't even remember his name. But he had a kid, and they had to move back to where he was from. Because he had help.
Yeah.
He had help, yeah. She went with him, and they moved and lived with family, and he was, you know, 30 minutes to go continue playing football. I don't even know if he kept playing or not, but I'm making that scenario up, but it does not – you're nodding your head. That doesn't sound far-fetched either.
No, I think there's a lot to the story. I don't think it's –
I don't think it's anything bad on UT's part. I don't think they've done anything
either.
Bad or any or
they
his.
They certainly did not want him to leave. I can tell you that.
No, why would they?
There was no grief. He can't stay healthy. That's not his fault. That's not the trainer's fault. It's not any of that. He didn't have, you know, injuries that they could really do anything about. He had an ankle that he sprained his ankle. It happens with running backs. He came into college or he came into his time at UT with an injury that they helped him rehab and get past. Would he have been a better player if he had been here if he had been able to play in the spring? I don't know how he could have been because he's
he was
good.
Great, dude. He was great. With the carries he had, if you put him in a not just highlight, in a one video, let's check out all the carries.
Yeah.
You would watch that and you would think, and if you put a different uniform on him and you said, oh, here's a running back at Alabama,
yep,
watch him run. You would be saying, well, that kid's ready for the NFL.
Yep.
So, I don't know. You know what, though? The cool thing about the portal, if you have a good attitude and they want you around, which we both are in agreement that we have that is the case.
Yeah.
If you're just up front and honest and you go talk to your position coach or your coordinator or both or Josh Heupel and you express your concern for why life is kind of hard for you and there's anything they can do about it legally – they will help. You don't have to. If you enter the portal, you don't have to leave. And this isn't – I'm the guy that always says, if you enter the portal and I'm the head coach, you might as well just leave.
Well, and I think you saw several people this morning. Jabari Davis is one. I believe Aaron Hayden was another that said, hey, let's talk.
What's up, man?
Responded to him. Just pick up the phone and call
me,
man.
After Florida, he was everybody's favorite player on the team. I mean, probably almost everybody's favorite player.
He's good. He plays hard. He does things on the field the right way. I think there are a lot of people in Vol Nation from fans to former players that would like to help him out if he's having some issues. But
find the struggle, ask for help. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. But, like, you never know if you don't ask.
So that's the news of the morning. Tide Evans will not be playing for Tennessee any longer, it appears. We will come back here to I-75 and Callahan Drive. We are at the intersection of Selection. That is Rusty Wallace Honda, one of our two homes on Fridays all year long, and pleased to be here every Friday next year as well here on Callahan Drive. We'll take more of your phone calls next at 865-656-9900 or 866-656-9900. The Eric Haynes Show rolls on next.
I feel like we're all just putting in time until the pick segment at 11 on Friday. I mean, on Fridays I do. I feel like we punch a clock, but we didn't really punch it. We're waiting to double, triple, quadruple punch it here coming up at 11 o'clock. A lot of stuff going on in sports, though.
It's going to be great. 656-9900 or 866-656-9900 if you want to join us. All right, coaching carousel spinning. Lane Kiffin coached his last game last night of the regular season. Presumed that Ole Miss will be in a New Year's Six Bowl. I don't anticipate Lane Kiffin being part of that, but it's possible. We saw yesterday, reportedly, Dave Aranda, who's the head coach at Baylor, was thought to be a top coaching prospect at LSU or USC or something.
I think LSU would be good for him.
He is apparently staying at Baylor.
Yeah, well, you don't have to leave.
Mike Gundy started
this 10 years ago.
Well, okay, and Oklahoma and Texas are leaving. Maybe not next year, probably the year after.
Why would you ever leave the Big 12?
Why?
Why would Fickell leave Cincinnati? He can stay at Cincinnati, move to the Big 12 without Texas or Oklahoma, and have a complete juggernaut machine rolling.
Luke Fickell has reportedly agreed to some sort of an extension that keeps him in Cincinnati. As you and I talked the other day, though, I didn't expect him to leave because they're going to be in the playoff. You're not going to leave your playoff team. So here's where the question comes in, Eric. You have these schools that have made these moves, LSU, Florida, and I'm not saying any of them were the wrong move, but I think they got into it with the idea that they would have better coaching candidates than what they're going to have. Do you think any of those spots have a little bit of coach firing remorse?
I think that happens every year. It's hard, though. We talked about it with Mullen. You have to sit there and not say, did they forget how to coach it? Or it's none of that. It's, are we at a point at this point in the season where we genuinely think, with everything going on that's going to make us fire the coach, that he can weather that storm, get it back on track, and get back to where he was when he first took the job over? I think the biggest thing that's hurting is Mullen. It's not just the fact that his players kind of quit and he kind of struggled a lot it's none of that. It is the fact that he played that Florida for the most part with someone else's recruits.
Yeah.
And they were good. And a lot of them are good. He's brought in some good players too. Don't get me wrong. But most of his best players on his team were there when he got the job or right there afterwards. I think with him, you said Scott Strickland said it, right? Something to the effect of, it's not just the losses, it's everything else.
Yeah.
You don't have buyers firing remorse when that happens because you can't see a path to get it back on track.
The Lincoln Riley name has been brought up for LSU. If you're Lincoln Riley, would you leave Oklahoma for LSU?
I wouldn't. You already have you why would you leave somewhere that you have not maybe right where you want it, but you're having an off year and your team still was able to rally and you were able to have a really good season. If he goes to LSU, he'll have 2 to 3 years where, A, he needs to have a top five recruiting class, which isn't hard there, but he's never recruited to somewhere like that.
Right.
And then, yeah, they're joining the SEC, but I would rather join the SEC having been the head coach somewhere for 10 years than have to go in somewhere else with all these problems and fix it. That's why coaches, it's the rebuild, right? It's the foundation. They all say it, but it's true. How fast can you flip the script on players? That's important too. Heupel did a great job of that.
Right.
He had buy-in from everyone on that team in spring practice, and it has showed.
Well, that's why it's so surprising that somebody like Todd Evans goes in the transfer portal, because everybody was so bought in from a culture standpoint. And that's the thing. That's the hardest thing. The problem at Florida was the culture. The problem at Florida was, just like it was when Urban Meyer left, it was culture. And Josh Heupel was able to flip that, and so his rebuilding job became a lot easier. How easy is that for Lincoln Riley somewhere? How easy would it be for him at LSU? That's the impossible question.
I just don't believe, like, players in pro sports, they leave the franchise they're at to go be with a winner.
Yeah.
Right? You know, like, that's what they do in every sport now. You're Matt Stafford, you bail finally on Detroit. He should have left years ago. But then you go to a franchise with good coaching and good players, and you want to go win, and you can do that. Like, in college coaching, you want to have all your players bought into your system and your program and have good relationships with them.
Yep.
When you leave where you're at and you have that for a crapshoot on whether you'll actually be able to do it or not, like, if I'm Lincoln Riley, if there's 1% of me that's like, I mean, yeah, it's LSU, but who cares? LSU to me is no different than Oklahoma anymore. This is not the 70s, 80s, 90s where you have 20 teams that are capable of doing anything important and nobody else is even on the radar. That's not the world we live in with college football now. You don't have to coach in the SEC. You know, it's why I wasn't really worried about Tony Vitello going to LSU. Why would he do that? He's got people here that love him. He's got a team that loves him. He's got a great brand. He's already built this thing up. Why would you want to go there? They're going to pay you a little more money? Well, then your school will pay you a little more money.
Yeah.
Like, it's not money and prestige of program used to influence all college football coaching decisions. And they neither of them do anymore.
They don't have to.
No. Cincinnati can pay their coach. I'll bet he makes at least $4.5 million, if not $5 million. That $5 million would be a $1.6 million annual upgrade for him.
And Cincinnati's in the playoff. So if you can make the playoff there, then why do you...
And make $5 million bucks. Billy Napier needs to take a new job. First one available. While his brand is hot, while he is good, he makes $1 million a year coaching at a school that can make some noise but really doesn't do anything important, and it is what it is. He should be taking any opportunity, not the first one, but you need to show interest when they first call, and maybe you get another call or two.
And I think he has. He didn't want to interview for the Tennessee job last year. He would have been great, in my opinion. But
agreed.
He was being very deliberate about what job he takes. Well, now he has some really good options out there. He has Florida. He has LSU. He has some others.
Every year, new good jobs come available. If you were the agent, and I'm going, I don't know, Brian. I mean, that's LSU, man. That's Florida. You'd be going, unless you can't fathom or even see yourself coaching here anymore, and you have to do it. If you feel like that, then let's talk. But if you don't, there will be just as many prestigious jobs available next year.
Yeah,
there are every year. And there's always the same 5 to 10 coaches that are on the hot board.
Yep.
Are you going to be good at Lafayette again next year at Billy Napier? Yeah, absolutely. Well, go be good again there, and you'll have 3 different jobs that you're like, how can I not take that job? Your goal is you have to get them. So, like, Heupel, conversation changes, 12-team playoff, all that kind of stuff. We're looking at all these different things that are going to happen, conference realignment. If he doesn't take the Tennessee job and all that becomes the conversation, he's going, well, I know I can keep it rolling here. Tennessee sounds like a great opportunity. From UCF, it for sure is. And it is for most people anytime, but he wouldn't have had to take the job. You're telling me I can coach here for 5 more years and there's a good chance that I can win the American
and get in the new playoff?
Why would you leave? You just ask for more money, and every one of these schools, guess what?
Eventually he's going to pay.
They've got more money. All you got to do is buy discount toilet paper in your football conference, get single ply for a full year, and you'll have hundreds of thousands of dollars that you can go change your paper. Let's get the cheap paper now.
Get everybody one less sweatshirt, and you'll be rolling.
Yes.
No. Fortunately, in places like Tennessee, you don't have to do that. Welcome back here to Rusty Wallace Honda. We're at the intersection of Selection, I-75 and Callahan Drive, up to $500 in trade assistance on all trade-ins. Up to $1,000 off any new Honda, and he's got new Hondas right here on the lot. It's Rusty Wallace Honda. It's where we are today for the Eric Ains Show. 656-9900, 866-656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Ains Show. SEC preview is coming up shortly. First, we got the phone. Snapper is on the line. Snapper, we had to hear from you because it is the Commodores tomorrow. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Mr. Rice, Mr. Ainge. It is an important Friday because it's before the Vanderbilt game, and it must be said, Vanderbilt sucks. Okay.
I like how you don't pull punches, Snapper. You're like me, dude.
No. And I've got a question, and does Mr. White and Coach Heupel know how much we have to humiliate Vanderbilt tomorrow? I'm afraid that these new guys don't know.
I think they Josh Heupel understands how important of a game it is from the he can't lose it because it has derailed people's opinions of first-year coaches here before that have lost to Vanderbilt. Does he necessarily know the level that you've got? Probably not, but I think you're going to have an opportunity to express that.
You know, he must achieve that level sometime. and I've got do they have, and Brian, you know this, would they have a recorded pregame speech by Coach Kafako somewhere in the archives that they could play for the team?
I bet VFL Films has one somewhere.
They ought to play that for the team. I mean, it would be, you know, the team needs to know. Heupel needs to know that we must humiliate. We must have their mothers crying in the morning after the game. You know, it's just that important that they be humiliated.
What score would satisfy you tomorrow?
Oh no.
Infinity times two.
I was going to say you're at least getting a three-digit number right here.
I mean, I don't want to make a first down. You know, that's how much I dislike playing Vanderbilt. I just don't want them to. I don't want them to have any success at all. None.
Snapper, remember we had
I want them to trip coming off the bus.
Remember there was a Florida running back a couple years ago that was playing, you know, really had to push it in there, and he pooped his pants?
Yep, that was the Birmingham Bowl.
Birmingham Bowl, a Florida guy poops his pants. If a Vandy player poops his pants, do you feel bad for him, or do you pile on?
No. I want the camera to zoom in quite close. Yeah, okay.
I'll be here.
So anyway, let's just keep that level of humiliation at a high level, and make sure Coach Heupel knows that he can't take any sympathy on beating this team as bad as he can.
You know what, though? Heupel and regardless of who hired them, Tennessee and the football department, athletic department-ish staff people brought back a couple people. We can leave it at two. They brought back more, but that have forgotten more about Tennessee football recruiting, Tennessee lore and times past. And I think that's good because that information is easily passed. Hey, you know, he walks by him in the office. He says, hey, you know, we need to win by at least 100 tomorrow, right? Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, no, really.
No, really.
Really. It needs to be 100-0. If you run the clock, game's almost over. Do not take a knee.
Let's go get more points.
That's right.
Throw that thing deep.
Right.
We want another
tug. Call a timeout and go long.
Yep,
absolutely. Yeah. I'm with you, Snapper.
Snapper, hope we see you at Gate 21 tomorrow.
Well, I will see you at Gate 21 tomorrow, 88 and out the goop.
Adios, Kazoos.
Vandy sucks. Vandy sucks.
Yeah, beat the rush. Hate Vandy early.
Snapper has so many one-liners, it's ridiculous.
Love it.
We need to keep like a whole like a binder full.
I love it. Let's jump into the SEC preview that we do every Friday here on the Air Gates Show. Of course, the SEC play started last night. Ole Miss beats Mississippi State 31-21. Missouri takes on Arkansas today. Missouri is already bowl eligible at 6-5. They are just one game behind Arkansas and could finish with the same regular season record today if they were to knock off the Hogs in Fayetteville. Eli Drinkwitz started his career just up the road from Arkansas. He was raised in the small town of Alma, Arkansas. He returns to his home state today for the matchup with the 25th-ranked Razorbacks. Meanwhile, down in the Sunshine State, Florida and Florida State will play a elimination game for bowl eligibility. One of these teams is going to go 5-7. One of these teams is going to go 6-6 and make a bowl game. This is on our pick segment coming up, but is there any motivation that you can think of that's there for Florida to finish this season out?
So they got a fired coach.
They do.
They are playing an in-state rival that, in my opinion, really to both teams, it's not much of a rivalry anymore. Florida just like always wins.
Yep.
So Florida State will want to play in a 6-6 bowl game. I believe that.
Yes.
Norvell will want that.
Florida does not.
No. We watched our players here on a crappy team when they were never good. You know, it's not like they were – it's not like the 2008 team after we were good in 07 had a chance to go to a bowl game and just went, nah, we're not playing.
No, it was
we
the
don't want
2011
to.
Team that had
– lost to Kentucky.
Yeah.
You had coaches that were so fed up with Dooley, they did not fly back. Think what you want about Coach Thompson – and he gets mixed reviews a lot of different places. The dude could recruit and love football.
Yep.
And he could not fathom being around Derek Dooley for another second of his life, professional career, whatever. That's terrible. They weren't good, and they still said, well, we're Tennessee. We don't want to play in a crappy bowl game. You're Tennessee, but you suck. Go play hard, Florida State, and go get in there. Florida, I think Florida will quit. They might. Florida State's bad, though. They may be able to go out there and hit a couple plays early because guess what? Their players aren't new. They're the same guys that have been playing.
Emory Jones was injured in practice earlier this week. He will not play. It will be Richardson that will get the start tomorrow.
No, and he's younger. And it's so hard because I guarantee not one player on that roster is actively hoping that they don't win and that they don't go to a bowl game. Anybody that's hitting the portal after Saturday, tomorrow for Florida, they're hitting the portal regardless. They don't care about what crappy bowl game they go to. If they're leaving, they're leaving.
Right.
So, fundamentally, I have a hard time with athletes in any sport, especially football players. It's just not the era that I grew up in. If you're playing, you play as hard as you can.
Alabama will head to Auburn. 10-1, 6-1. Did you hear Nick Saban's rant earlier this week on entitled fans?
I did. And he can say it.
Yeah.
He can say it.
Did you hear the people that were cheering in the background? I was like, some of you people that are cheering in the background are the people he's talking about, right?
Nick Saban could point a finger at an Alabama fan's face and tell them just the meanest 30 seconds of things you could say to them. And they'd be like,
yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, Saban, he knows I got a lot to work on. You know, I got a lot to fix. I'm not living it up. I'm not doing the right thing as a Bama fan. And, well, you know, Saban said that I suck and this and that. And he's right. I do. He can say whatever he wants.
There's a
point.
Word for that. I believe it's called Stockholm Syndrome.
That's, I think, especially with Harsin being linked to the Washington job and Bo Nix being hurt. And the fact that T.J. Finley is their backup, who is terrible. He was horrible at LSU. He's horrible at Auburn. He's just not a good college football player. But I think Bama will beat him by, I'm going to say at least, I'm going to say by 30 or more.
That's the 3:30 CBS game. It's 7 o'clock on ESPN. Texas A&M heads to LSU. We're going to pick that one in the pick segment coming up.
That'll be interesting.
11 o'clock hour, for sure.
Ed Orgeron's last game, dude. I mean, whoever they go get, more than likely they'll coach him in the bowl game.
Yep.
So, this is, I got a hummer, you got a hummer. Tell about it, JoJo.
A game that you never would have expected would have ended up on the SEC Network. Clemson is at South Carolina.
Yeah.
Only one thing on Shane Beamer's mind, beat Clemson. If he could do that, South Carolina already at 6-5. South Carolina looked dead in the water early this season.
His coaching job this year has been one of the more impressive around the entire college football landscape.
They got better every week.
They didn't quit. They had their come to Jesus moment, their fork in the road moment came in the first month of the season. And they took the right path. That's a coaching trait that makes me change my mind a little bit about Shane Beamer. I don't know schematically, you know, is he a guru? No. Kind of a special teams guy, but he seems easy to like.
Since the loss to Tennessee, which was their third in four games, they're only 3-2, but their losses were to Texas A&M on the road, no shame there.
Duh.
And then a 3-point loss on the road at Missouri, who's
fine.
Also, we were just talking about being a good
team.
Their victories, Vanderbilt by 1 point, Florida 40-17, Auburn 21-17. That's the one that I think has illustrated exactly how good he has done there. A win over Clemson would certainly solidify that. Finally, on ESPN2 tomorrow night. Kentucky's on the road at Louisville. Louisville's a 3-point favorite in this game, and despite a 6-5 record, Kentucky's 8-3, but a loss to Louisville could really negatively impact how people feel about this season in Lexington. That is the SEC preview. Take it every Friday. When we come back on the Eric Ains Show, wrap up this hour. Vol Hoops ready for Tennessee Tech this afternoon. We'll tell you more about that one as we return to Rusty Wallace Honda, I-75 and Callahan Drive on the Eric Ains Show.
Welcome back into the Eric Ains Show, live here at Rusty Wallace Honda. Got a lot full of cars, a lot full of cars that you can come by. If you get one of the new Hondas, you can get a complimentary 200,000-mile warranty on that bad boy as well.
Absolutely. Right here, intersection of selection, I-75 and Callahan Drive. Also, you get some great Black Friday deals all over town right now and through Tuesday. Black Friday deals right here at Rusty Wallace Honda. There's a blacked-out CRV there with some nifty black rims just rolling by. And pre-owned lot is stocked as well right here, Rusty Wallace Honda. 656-9900-866-656-9900 if you want to join us. Vol Hoops, ranked 15th in the country, takes on Tennessee Tech today. It will be it'll be on our station here in Knoxville coming up this afternoon as well. So John and Jimmy get the day off. John doesn't because he'll be doing the Vol Network stuff, hosting the big orange scoreboard. Online only on SEC Network Plus if you want to watch it. Tennessee coming off a two-game weekend in which they split at the Hall of Fame tip-off at the Mohegan Sun. Split games against number 5 Villanova and absolutely hammered number 18 North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Zakai Ziegler was one of 4 Vols to score in double figures against the Tar Heels. We haven't talked about him hardly at all, but he came through in that game on Sunday.
They're just to me, the basketball team is going to have to find a way for them to good teams, let alone great teams, have numerous avenues to a victory.
Right.
And I feel like that's what the kind of defense that Rick Barnes demands, and I would expect will be really good this year. That has been something good every year.
Right.
Different levels of good, but still. Then it comes down to how are we scoring points, who's getting the most looks. I feel like Santiago Vescovi needs to be ready to be aggressive. Josiah Jordan James needs to be aggressive. We have an entire team, and the point guard, forget how old he is going to get, Chandler's going to get the first part of the game plan. Well, how are we going to beat the Vols? Well, we're not going to let point guard do it. So if we're not going to let him beat us, then what do we need to do to keep him at bay? Because he's the only guy on our team, in my opinion, that can get quote-unquote hot and go 7-for-10 from the three-point line and dunk and trap. Like, he is a different level of capable offensive player. So those other guys have to be ready. How many game winners did MJ hit? How many Hakeem Olajuwon won? Some. It's Robert Horry for 3 twice. It was Glenn Big Baby Davis for the Celtics in 2008. It's always the other guy, Andre Iguodala.
Steve Kerr.
The other guys actually win you the games. You know, the actual, like, butt-cutting time, that's the other guys. They're going to have to play good. And I don't like that naturally I think all of them settle for the 3. I think they settle it too much. I don't think Rick Barnes is as crazy on that as some people think. You know, he's not shaking his fist when they take a good look at a 3-pointer. But after you miss a couple,
he wishes you would find more better
points. Either keep passing it, penetrate and pass it, or just straight up attack the basket.
Yeah.
That's like Kentucky had a couple guys. Maxie was one of them. They had another one just a couple years ago. And they were so good off the dribble.
Right.
And so fast. They lived in and around the paint and the rim. If you have perimeter players that can do that, man, even better. If James or Vescovi drives the lane and they're going to come help and they're kicking it to Chandler, then I like our odds even more with that. So it's going to be fun to watch them, though. They got a lot of work to do. I know they're ranked 15th. Don't get me wrong. A lot of that comes from the Power T brand and Rick Barnes and looking at some returning players, all that stuff. But I think they could be really good.
Tennessee Tech is 1-25 all-time against Tennessee. The 1 came on December 4th, 1996, in the middle of a terrible Kevin O'Neill.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't it make you feel good that you feel good about our coach?
Yeah.
In men's athletics right now, when is the last time we had a trifecta of fan buy-in and understanding and excitement for all three sports?
It makes it a lot easier.
Probably back when I played, honestly. That's probably about the last time. But you have Delmonico, Bruce, Pearl, and Fulmer.
Coach Fulmer, yeah.
That's a good trio, too. I mean, how it ended up aside, that's good. I like this, though.
It's a good feeling to have confidence that from now until June, you're going to have something to be excited about.
I feel like, and I think that Heupel, when he shows it tomorrow, when he pulls a snapper and beats him by 1,000, or infinity times two, I believe is what he said.
Infinity times two.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that we have three coaches, Vitello, Heupel, and Barnes, and they're never going to be terrible. I think
their floor is okay.
Will we be fired up every year? Absolutely not. Are we going to make the World Series? Are we going to go to the Elite Eight? Are we going to win the division in football? No. But we have three coaches that you can feel good in. No matter what happens, they're not going to let it beat them, and they're not going to be terrible. I feel like there's a lot of value in that.
When your floor is okay, that makes it a lot easier to achieve your ceiling, which can be wherever it is. We will come back here to Rusty Wallace Honda. We're at I-75 and Callahan Drive. The world-famous pick segment is coming up next. This is what we work all week for, Eric.
This is it.
The pick segment coming up
next. I thought you were showing me your nipple. That's power T.
That is power T.
That's power T.
Yeah, that's
probably get that tattooed on your nipple.
Boy, the context of people who can't see what we're
doing.
A lot of nips right now.
A lot of nips.
We return to Rusty Wallace Honda. Coming up, the
pepperonis.
Big segment is next.
You think he's got pepperonis?
On the Eric Haines Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.